Good evening. This is Ifeah Wangaza, National Co-Chair, National Chair of the Pacifica National Board Affiliates Task Force, calling our regular August Task Force meeting to order. Want to thank Otis for streaming us and getting us out to the rest of the world. If our secretary would begin, I always prefer.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll just the names of the people that I think are on the call, and after I'm finished, if any or others have joined us, they can tell us. Is that
wonderful.
Okay?
Super. Thank you.
In order, by KPFA, we have Chandra Hopman. From KPFT, we have Teresa Allen. From WSLR, we have David Beaton. From WMXLP is Ifeah Wangaza. We have Ursula Rudenberg, our affiliate coordinator, and we have Brian Sherman from WRFG. Is there anyone else?
Dina Colbert.
And Dina Colbert from
Hi,
New York.
Dina. Hi.
Hello.
Okay.
To my knowledge, no one has sent me an email asking to be excused.
Sean Rhodes did.
Sean Rhodes. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I wanted to go, to use the agenda template that has emerged at this point. So is there an item that anyone would like to add to the agenda at this time?
I didn't see an agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go next.
I'm sorry. I didn't see an agenda that was sent ahead of time.
We've been using the same agenda format for a number of months at this point. So we've just stuck with that. Did you have something that you wanted to discuss in particular?
No, I was just nope.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Chandra?
Yes. The local station boards are involved in approving budgets for their areas now, and I assume very shortly the national board will be reviewing them. And I was wondering, where are we at with the task force budget? So I just wanted to get a status report on that.
Okay. Well, that would be, we would ask that Ursula make that a part of her report. Was there anything else? Did anyone have anything else?
Well, I had a suggestion in mind on how to follow through on the, you know, my concerns expressed last month about getting more information to Pacifica National Board about the affiliates program, and I thought about it during the month and wanted to make a concrete suggestion.
Okay. Is there any reason that can't be also a part of your report?
I don't think it's part of the report.
Under new business or old business?
Yeah. I mean, I'll do it any way you want. I just don't think it's part of my report.
Okay. I didn't hear you.
I said I thought it sounds like a discussion item.
Why don't we put it under new business? Is there anything else? Okay. Teresa, we have not gotten any new minutes, so I assume that you want to...
Madam Chair, I sent out our minutes.
Oh, boy, I missed them. Sorry.
It was within a week of our last meeting. I typed them up, and I sent them out. And if you like, I'll get the date. But they were sent out over 3 weeks ago.
My apologies. I overlooked them. Do you mind resending them?
Yes. I'm trying to get into them right now.
Yeah. Okay, and that covered how many meetings?
The one I sent out was the I sent out the July minutes.
Does that make us current?
Should be, Madam Chair.
Okay. Am I the only one who overlooked them?
I'm sure I didn't. This is Brian. I'm sure I didn't get them.
Well, I do have your email, Brian. It's S-H-E-R-M-A-N, correct?
That's me, yep. bsherman@mindspring.com, if you have my name, yeah.
That's B. Sherman?
Right.
Mm-hmm, yes. I'm sending them out again right now. For any confusion, if you want to postpone these until the next meeting, I'm hoping to stay on top of this and get the minutes out immediately after our meeting. So I'm not behind the eight ball.
Super. Well, we know how busy you are otherwise. Is there any objection to postponing approval of these minutes to the next meeting? Hearing no objections, then the approval of the July minutes will be postponed to the next meeting. I believe next on the agenda is the Chair's report, which I'm having difficulty finding on my computer. So, Ursula, if you will go ahead with yours, since you're next, it'll give me more time to look for mine.
Okay. About 99% of the contracts to affiliates have been sent out. Almost all of them are.
Great.
So that people can, include it in their budgets. And I'm actually on vacation right now. When I return from vacation in a week and a half, I will, between now and October, find out, the results of that, how many people are going to, sign the contracts. So I don't have any idea right now of what the response will be. Because I've heard a few responses, but not a lot. And I returned from Mississippi last week, and feel like we started a pretty good basis for a station down there. It kind of depends on how they continue without me. Thanks to Dina Colbert, we're actually going to get some teamwork coaching, so that's kind of exciting.
Bravo!
And so hopefully that'll help them solidify a team. And, thanks, Dina. I have to get that organized in the next few days. Tom Hartman, I was in negotiation with the Tom Hartman program the last few months, and they have made their show available to Pacific affiliates for free. Tom Hartman, I don't know if all of you know him. He had a show on Air America. Now he's independent, and he's kind of a very labor. He knows a lot about labor, and he's a progressive. But what he does is he brings a lot of conservatives on his show and debates them. And it's a very strong show, and so he was interested in working with Pacifica and making the show available for free to our affiliates. So that's in Audioport now, although it's in a restricted part. And also, I've been working with the Independent News Service, getting, you know, helping them promote their headline service, which they're doing three times a day. And now I'm working with a Canadian producer who has a very good show called Deconstructing Dinner, which is about, you know, the business of food, and see if he can have a little bit more of a, you know, visibility in the United States through AudioCourt. And he's actually at one of the affiliate stations, our one and only Canadian affiliate station. And Otis and John and I had a meeting about 2 weeks ago about planning the AudioCourt upgrade, and you know, talked about the one that exists now and how we're going to proceed to, you know, lay the groundwork for the substantial upgrade that hopefully can happen sometime in the near future. And Norm Stockwell also said he would like to work on it, but requested that we do it in person. So if we're hoping that it might be possible for all of us to meet in Houston at the board meeting, because that would be, you know, a place where John and Otis are all already. So we'll see if that's possible to go through the new plan. And I think that's all. One more thing. I've been working with a group on every Monday night with this group of applicants for radio stations, and we've been working on this project where I can't remember exactly what it's called, but you know, in the cars that have, you know, digital radios, when a radio station, you know, a radio station can program it so that, you know, the name of the station appears when you know, the station is playing on the radio of the car. And what there is, that there's like a certain number of categories as well. And if there's a committee that decides on what the categories are. And public radio has a category, and there's, you know, religious stations have a category. And what the thing is that if you have a category like that, as a person is driving, like, along the highway, they can, you know, punch in the type of radio they want to hear, and the radios will search for and will pick up any station that's in that category. So it's a way of, you know, being found by people. And there is no radio category. And it would be a really great branding opportunity if we could convince this committee to, they have like three categories left that have not been taken. And so we're working on finding out and how to appropriately approach them to ask them to make community radio one of those categories. And we kind of have to build a case to them to, you know, convince them that it's a significant enough category that they'll dedicate one of their frequencies to that, or whatever it is that they dedicate from their satellite. So we're working on that too. So it's kind of a subtle thing, but it's actually a really nice little piece of promotion that, you know, we'd like to accomplish. So other than that, I just, you know, did the kind of normal errands and helped with the national broadcast of the Sotomayor hearings with Mitch Jeserich. That's it.
Okay. I was interested in your last, the previous report, you talked about an effort to do a joint buying cooperative with affiliates. I'm wondering where you are in moving towards doing that. You indicated that it was going to be in the fall. Are you all preparing to be prepared to meet in the fall at this point?
Well, yeah, I think we will. I think we'll be able to do that. I mean, John and I have both been very overextended. And, you know, the thing is that until these, I mean, you know, making about 165 contracts is just an overwhelming job. It just is. It's just, you know, it's just incredible. And so I just really have to do that right now. It's a huge administrative task from now until October to get that done, and I know John is very overwhelmed too. So the thing is, we are working on, I am you know, talking with some people about the potential sources for funding for the group buys when we do it, and so we're kind of working on that part of it. And then in fall, we'll hold another, you know, conference call and take it to the next step. But, you know, I'm one person. I have a broken arm right now, and so I'm typing with one hand. And you know, without assistance, this contract job is enormous. It just is. And it's very important that it be done right. So right now, it's pretty much consuming all of my mental space. But the conference call will happen in fall, I'm sure. I mean, John's on vacation now too, and we'll take it to the next step. We have come up with some possibilities for how to actually provide funding for that. So it is kind of moving along in a nice way.
Since we're on support to affiliates, would you, at this point, Otis, talk about what's happening with AudioPort and what kind of questions are emerging and being answered?
I'm not sure what questions are emerging, but I mean, I could tell you, you know, where we are with AudioPort.
Super.
There is a new version, and you can use it if you go to audioport.org/8084. That is the new version, and you know it looks pretty similar, but there are some features. It's the next generation of software itself, so it's more stable. It does use cookies. One of the advantages of cookies is you can stay logged in if you want. I should say about cookies that it doesn't really take any information from your computer. It's just a way of remembering that you belong, actually. What we're talking about doing is phasing that in, letting people try it first and find out if there are any problems with it, and then move to that version. At that point, we're going to start finding out what people want. Ursula already has a collection of things that people want, and we'll start adding that to the new version incrementally so that it stays stable. And that's basically what's going on. AudioPort.org/8084. At some point pretty soon, we'll put up something that lets people choose, I think. But Ursula and John and I are talking about how to actually do that. So that's pretty much what I have to say, and I'm available for your questions now.
Does anyone have any questions?
That was a really
yes. I got a question.
Yeah, who's
okay.
That?
I apologize. I missed the presentation.
You missed it.
Okay, this is.
Go ahead,
Otis. This is audioport.org/8084.
That's correct.
Will we be able to, and maybe we can do this now, maybe I just don't know how, but people know a particular show and you're the originator of the show, can you, as the originator, can you see who downloaded your show, so you know which stations were downloading?
That's one of the, that's actually one of the requests that people have had, to know who's actually downloading it so that you get a sense of, you know, are people running your show? And also that gives you the opportunity to contact them. You might think about including the email with it. That's one of the requests that's definitely on the table. I mean, that's something that I think would be really useful to have.
Yeah, can I explain something? The new AudioPort that we're talking about right now is really just a refinement of the existing one that corrects some of the problems that it has, but it's not the new version that includes these new features that people are asking for.
Right.
That's like the next stage of development. this is a kind of, there were some things that were needed to be fixed on this one.
Yeah, and also this one is easier to work with. You
know, right.
The software itself makes it a lot easier to add the things that we're talking about. So it's the second generation of software. In the software world, we say the way to write a program is first you write the program, then you write the program. And that's basically what Sean has done. And I have to say that Sean has done all this totally on his own. He I think, wanted to see it more stable and use some of the things that he's been, upgrading at Radio for All. So
I will notice, this is Dave again, I won't see any difference looking.
There's a difference in the front page. We changed the way the front page works. It doesn't have the five separate lists. It has one big list, and then you pick the separate ways of choosing, you know, that existed before. It turned out that the way we were doing it before had a tremendous amount of overhead. Made the code a lot more complex. If we have huge complaints, then that's the purpose of people using it. Generally, when something changes, people resist it, but then they get so used to it that if you changed it back, they'd resist it. But if you go there, the big advantage of this one is the upload is the last step now. You put in all the descriptions and everything, and then the last thing you do is upload, so you can, you know, push the button and walk away. The other thing is that for most browsers, for Firefox, I think for Explorer, for Safari, it does have an upload progress bar, so it shows you, you know, where how much it's uploaded so far, which I think is like a huge improvement myself. You know, that I found it very frustrating to use it before, where you didn't know how long you had to wait, you know, before you could put in that last stuff. So those are the major changes in it. The other thing is just stability. It's a lot more stable.
When do you think you'll launch this?
Well, it's theoretically launched now. I mean, certainly if you're uploading stuff, David, I would strongly urge you to go to the new one and use it so that if there's any problem there, we can find out quickly. I don't want to, you know, be bringing it out to a whole lot of people if there's still some problems with it. And the only way to find out what problems there are is to use it. You know, we're at that stage now.
Okay, I'll start using it.
Cool. And any feedback, you know, I would greatly appreciate any feedback, you know, to go to John and I and Ursula, because that feedback is really the most important data at this point. You know, what bugs you, what you like, what you would like to see.
Are there any other questions?
Madam Chair?
Uh-huh.
May I ask who joined the call?
Yes?
Well, I disconnected and then came back on, so
thank you.
You might have heard a click.
Thank you.
Are there any
Teresa?
Other questions?
Yes. I was just going to say, Teresa, if you sent the minutes around, so did I. So we'll be getting some copies.
I would really like it if the minutes would come to me. I want to post the minutes on the calendar. The
KPFT, that would be helpful.
The KPFTX calendar is going to eventually move to, you know, to Pacifica as part of, you know, whatever upgrades we do, changes we make to that site. It's kind of crazy right now. But I'm trying to build this database of the governance of Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to post those minutes and the agendas and all that stuff. So eventually it'll turn out to be what we wanted in the beginning, which was, you know, a website that had all that.
All right. I will try to send all the minutes to you. And
yeah, or you can post them. You can go there when you log in, because I know you have a login. You can see how to do it.
Okay.
And if you need my help, I'd be glad to help, or I'll be glad to do it.
All right, I might just give you a call about that. Thank you, Otis. I did just send out the minutes. I did see a mistake where it said that last month's meeting was called to order, I think at like 8:13 a.m. and it should be p.m. But otherwise, I sent them out originally on the 13th of August.
Okay.
13th of July.
5th of July. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I see them now. Okay, I did have a question, and that is whether or not the response to the automation demand is a part of the next level of development, or it's something that will emerge as the or evolve out of the current incarnation of AudioPort.
No, it'd definitely be part of the new version, and I think automation is like a major issue, and and it really needs to be addressed. It would obviously make AudioPort a lot more useful if people, you know, didn't have to go and download and then move it. And there are ways to do that. The easiest way to do that is with podcasting. And one of the things we need to find out, which we can do with this questionnaire, is, you know, how the different stations are actually automating their, you know, and what their requirements would be. And then we would figure out ways to, you know, fulfill those needs.
Well, we'll do more than that. I mean, yeah, we'll have to really research that.
Yeah.
You know, go station by station and find out what's going on.
I found an article that talks about the process of both finding out who's downloading stuff and getting people to respond. And I was frankly trying to figure out a way to send it out without faxing it. So I on Sundays I go to Kinko's and get stuff scanned. So if I don't figure it out between now and then, I will do that. And some of them, the software is free. So that might be helpful in that regard.
That would be extremely useful. That
okay.
is exactly the kind of stuff that's really valuable for what we're doing.
Also, one of the thoughts that I had was how much information can be gleaned at the time the time that contracts are renewed. That's certainly
we used to do that. But that requires assistance. There's just no way in hell I can do that right now. It's just an unbelievable amount of work. And there was a year when we did that. We sent a questionnaire with the contracts. But with the cutbacks this year and the level of, or the lack of assistance that I have from Pacifica on many levels, there's just no way that I can do that. I'm sorry. Unless this committee wants to volunteer to do that kind of work, it's just not possible. My priority is to get these contracts resolved. And that in itself is a huge job because, you know, there's constantly shifting staff and contact information. So every time I redo the contracts, I have to also redo all our data on all the stations. So I agree it would be a good idea. There's lots of things I'd like to ask. But right now we're running a shoestring operation, and that's the best I can do. I'm sorry. I mean, we have asked that in the past, but right now it's just not possible.
Do you have a copy of the form that you used in the past?
I don't know. I might. I don't remember.
It might be helpful if that were revived.
I have a suggestion that. I think it comes under new business. Part of it could come under where Ursula's talking right now. And I'm sorry I didn't bring it up earlier. But it's that there are web, I don't know whether you call them webinars or there are programs that the affiliate task force could use where we could be surveying, we could get all affiliates on the phone at the same time and in half an hour do a complete survey of everything we ever wanted to know and then some by them just pressing a button and reading the survey right online. I don't know quite what that's called, but I did one today, for instance, with people from around the world. We answered questions, and the person who was running the seminar had the answers. There were 40 of us from around the world online.
That's wonderful.
So the question...
Well, the trouble with that is that the assumption is that you're going to get all the affiliates to be on the line, and that's just...
Well,
that in itself is an enormous job to convince
but
people to
you,
do that.
No, but we do is we train them into the fact that maybe four times a year we're going to go on, we're going to do a webinar telecast, and we need as many affiliates on as possible. It's the same thing as GRC, except it's on a telecast webinar. And so four times a year, 30 of them come online. At least we're talking to 30 of them, and as a task force, we're asking them what's relevant so that they're driving the task force and the board members rather than the other way around, which is the way it should be, because we could be asking appropriate questions, getting the answers from 30 or 40 people stations at a time, and then we can bring that information, we can formulate policy around it, which is the way I really believe that the affiliate task force should run, and I'm sure it's the way the board directors would like it to be run. And it puts them in touch with the affiliates that they represent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I think, frankly, the response that I got for the invitation to participate in regional PMB meetings supports movement in that direction. So I guess you and I should talk about it some more, and how can we...
Well, I can give you one name, two that I know of. One is called Maestro. And I'm using it next week, as a matter of fact. But you can ask questions of your respondents. You can put them in separate rooms, and you can dialogue with them individually, or all of us in the task force can be on, and we can put groups of three and four together and talk to them individually and then come back. I mean, it can be, there's amazing stuff that can happen. And there's no reason for us to be behind when we can, in fact, be proactive. The other one is called Citrus. That's the one I was on today.
So if I just Google those,
Maestro and Citrus, you can find out.
Okay. I'll follow up with that. And then a couple other ideas that I had that I won't take up time with at this point because they're not fully developed, but I think that the...
Excuse me for a minute, Lucia. Can I just ask what part of the agenda are we on right now? I mean, is this part of
I interrupted.
Right,
I apologize, firstly.
Are we doing exactly right now?
What we're doing right now is asking Otis questions about the technical development of AudioPort.
And this is under the affiliate coordinator's report. The chair deferred her report until after the report from the affiliate coordinator.
Okay.
Okay. So as I said, there are some other proposals that I'd like to see with regard to being more effective and maybe in collecting information and enhancing affiliate participation in the structure and process of the task force, but I haven't finished thinking about them. And secondly, what I have thought about, we can perhaps discuss when Ursula talks about her ideas in that regard. If there are no other questions for Otis, let me say thank you, Otis, for that update. Let me ask you one other question, and that is what is AudioPort? Would it be AudioPort 2.0, for lack of a better term, what kind of time frame are you all beginning to visualize?
Well, I was thinking, you know, certainly within a month, kind of waiting for John to get back. I don't know if I'd call it 2.0. It's just audio port.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not that good at marketing. You know, I guess we could make a big splash. Or we wanted to change the way it looks, you know, and make it jazzier. But, you know.
Well, actually, I think that us affiliates will be happy that it exists.
Right.
Marketing or jazz or flash or sizzle, as they say, is in the essence of its existence as opposed to its sale. We're already sold on AudioPort. We just think that
if it works good and shares programs and does what it's supposed to do, and if we add some, you know, cool stuff to it, you know, I'm totally ecstatic with that.
Great. Yeah, so are we. Okay, and I'm particularly concerned, is that the point at which the automation issue will be addressed, or is that further down the road?
No, here's what we'll do. We'll make sure that the new one is stable, okay, and that involves first some people using it and then a lot of people using it, so we get feedback, and any problems with it we can fix, you know, quickly. And once we know it's stable, then we'll, you know, go after it and try to wreck it. No, wait a minute. I don't mean that. No, but that's when we would start adding stuff, and we would look at the list and prioritize that list and basically do them one at a time. And, I think automation is fairly high up there, and that who's downloading are probably two of the things. But, again, Ursula really has been much more at the center of this issue of knowing what people want, because she's been talking to everybody. So there are a bunch of things, and we will do them one at a time, so that each time we do something, it continues to be stable. You know, anytime you make a change, you're kind of asking for it. So we'll do them one at a time and add those features one at a time, and prioritize that list. However we choose to do that.
And Ursula, is automation at the top of that list?
Automation is the two things that are at the top of the list are automation and being able to tell who took your show.
Both of them are actually both of them are actually relatively simple. They're both
right.
Relatively simple. The download thing is probably a little more than the automation, but we probably go do the simpler thing first. But again, that, you know, that's up to the. What we get the general sense of what people want, and that's, you know, that's what Ursula's doing.
Okay. All right. Did anyone else have questions or comments?
I do have a question.
Okay.
Ursula, I know that you didn't go to the PNB meeting, but were any decisions made at the Pacifica National Board meeting that impacted affiliates?
I don't know about it. I wasn't told anything. I had no report from the meeting, so I'm assuming Afia will tell us that in her report. But I have had no communication from anybody since the meeting, so I don't know. I haven't heard from Grace or Afia, so I don't know what's going on. I do want to say one thing, you know, to you, Dina, and some of the others. You know, if right now you're looking for ways to get involved, I would like to, you know, I would like to also ask for support for the work that I'm doing, because right now there's an enormous task at hand.
I would hope that people would want to support the work I'm doing. I assume that's a part of your proposal for improving the working relationship between the task force and the board. And
no, I'm just as I understand it, making contracts is a priority for the foundation because it represents a considerable amount of money, and I would think the foundation would want to support that work. That's all I'm saying. that in itself is an enormous amount of work, and it's an administrative labyrinth. And
well,
so,
I can tell you, well, let me say two things. First of all, is that for some reason I cannot find my report to the board, which means that I will have to email it to everyone. But the as I briefly stated earlier, the response to participation in regional PMB meetings was very well received, as was the opportunity to participate in the regular monthly task force meetings by affiliates. As an affiliate, I reiterate my belief that affiliates speak best for affiliates, and that to the extent that we work towards creating those opportunities and hearing the broadly from affiliates, the more effective, responsive we can be, and the more authentic the task force is. In addition to, with regard to the to the program, there were a number of points that were raised. There were no resolutions that David or I put forward that were passed, but there were some questions that were advanced based on the responses that I received to the invitation to participate in the New York or WBAI regional meeting. And as I suspect most of you know, that was a pretty raucous meeting. And not much beyond BAI really got addressed or was articulated. But there were questions about Pacifica as a content provider and doing more to advance the content of the network and of affiliates and to build the exchange between the two, that it would ultimately contribute to the earlier proposals that have been made with regard to doing a Pacifica Internet, national Internet station, and ultimately a satellite station. There was a particular criticism of Pacifica's failure to be listed as one of a number, I think it was six progressive stations or broadcast outlets that was still working to on the getting out relevant news. There was also the question about another question about, and I'm trying to read from my notes, which is not very helpful. A question about how do we access the resources that Pacifica already has, use them for the program in a more formal way, given the fact that we have established the existence of the budget for which George Ryder was recognized in his support of that effort. And I hesitate to go into a lot more details about what that would wind up looking like because it wasn't any extensive discussion about it. But I do have questions about what I think would probably be more efficient and effective use, especially given the fact that Ursula, the comments that Ursula just made with regard to being shorthanded.
Can you explain that, Asiya? I don't really understand what you mean.
You were saying that there are certain things that you can't do because you don't have an assistant.
Right. No, I mean, what was proposed?
Nothing was proposed. Nothing was proposed, to answer your question. There is a desire to have a stronger effort to make sure that as soon as the date for the upcoming PMB meeting is set, that affiliates are notified of that date to maximize their opportunity to participate and to benefit from arrangements that might be, especially transportation arrangements that might be made given in a maximal amount of time. My understanding is that that Ursula, that you are willing to assist in making sure that folk get to participate in the next regional meeting. So I'm anxious to hear what your proposal is for making sure that happens. I think that in addition to my emailing out a copy of the report that I read at the PMB meeting, you might also be able to hear it from the archives, and I certainly do invite you to do that.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Will you be sending me a copy of your report?
Yes, I will. And I apologize that I'm trying to read it from my notes. I didn't realize that it hadn't easily marked it, but yes, I'll send the whole report out and ask that you include it in the minutes as well as my sending it out to the list generally.
I do have two comments.
Okay.
One, in approval of the agenda, Chandra Hopman requested discussion of the budget status, and we agreed that this would be discussed in the affiliate coordinator's report. And maybe I missed that.
Actually, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And then the other point is, Madam Chair, you just made a comment about maximizing affiliate participation in the board meeting. And I think we maybe need to discuss this because I don't want to give affiliates the impression that the Pacifica National Board meetings are educational meetings or a conference, because all we have is either time during the affiliate coordinator's report or public comment, and I would not want anyone to come to a Pacifica National Board meeting, spend a couple hundred dollars or a couple, you know, 5 or 10 hours getting there, say paper hotel or something, and only have like either a 5-minute segment in her report or a two-minute segment in public, you know, comment. Unless this task force agrees that we're going to put on some specific presentation, we really do need to give some advance thought to what we want to present to the National Board if we're going to have affiliates participate. Because sometimes even our own staff, even the affiliate coordinator sometimes, has had a report and didn't even get to stand up and give the report. And it was passed out to the PNB, and you can only hope that they read it. Unless we have some plan,
I think we need to be very careful about inviting affiliates, because I think they'll have the wrong impression when they come.
Well, my response to that is that I think that whatever chance there is of that happening, and David, please feel free to add to my comments. In fact, without putting you on the spot, I would ask you to do so as soon as I respond to the point that that Teresa has made, and of course invite you to do the same. I think that it's simply a matter of informing the affiliates. I don't know who you all think affiliates are. I don't know what you think we think or don't think. I think that I'm certain, in fact, that with adequate information, affiliates will continue to make whatever decisions are felt to be in their individual and collective interest. And as far as organizing a presentation, I think that, you know, we can do that. But I don't think that that is the exclusive objective of affiliate participation in regional meetings. I think affiliates, individually as well as collectively, have questions and comments and criticisms that they want to make, and that we need to create the space for them to do that. Now, as for the meeting in New York, there was essentially an hour set aside for affiliates. 30 minutes for within the formal board agenda, and an additional 30 minutes in the public comment. So we're not talking about 2 minutes here and 5 minutes there. We recognize that people come from great distances, which is a part of the reason why the regional participation is being encouraged to reduce the burden and the cost, and at the same time to encourage maximal participation. So my experience so far is that every time affiliates are given the opportunity to participate, to interface with the board, to interface with other affiliates, that opportunity is taken with enthusiasm and substance. And quite frankly, as long as I am chair, and you know, you all may vote me out the next time around, that I am going to persist in creating or encouraging as many opportunities for that to occur as possible. Because, as I said a moment ago, affiliates speak best for affiliates.
I would like to be on the stack after David responds.
Okay.
And I'd like to be on the stack after Chandra.
Go ahead, David.
Okay. I'm kind of torn about it. I think it's a good opportunity for radio people to get together. But at the same time, after seeing what went down in New York, and experiencing these last three live P&B meetings, I'm not sure that affiliates have much to gain. Though, if it's where we can get in some informal discussions with affiliates, I just think I think Teresa has a good point that we need to spell out exactly what happens at these meetings, what goes on, and what the availability of time that they have. I know that Grace has committed to, I believe she's committed to having a somewhat of a reception, and so we might want to have the affiliates RSVP so we get an idea of what happens. But I do think an opportunity for radio people to get together, not necessarily board members, but radio people that are representative of the affiliates, is a good thing. There is a lot that I can learn that I think this task force can get gathered from that, and I think whenever we get our board involved with real radio people, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So we just got to pre-warn them about what really goes down here, and that it isn't really a learning opportunity, it's more of a sharing
that maybe we'll have some time to share and get to know what they want out of Pacifica, because I think we're moving in the right direction, the board. I think we're getting to the rest of the board. I know Via and myself are very open to hearing the affiliates. I think that sometimes the rest of the board, I believe they're open, but they're so bogged down in the years of Pacifica that they don't visualize the affiliates, and it would be a good opportunity for them to get one-on-one. But we want to make sure it's a win-win situation for everybody. And clearly New York wouldn't have worked out maybe if we had a reception up on the rooftop or something like that, separated from some of the factionalism. But so I think if it's done properly, I think it can work. Thank you.
Thank you. Dana?
No, Chandra was next.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. While I appreciate the idea, and I've heard you echo this before, and I do support the fact that I think affiliates should get together, and there should be a forum for them to express their concerns to Pacifica, board members and staff, et cetera, I do not think that the board meetings are the place for this to occur, because I don't think that there's any value added for the affiliates to come to board meetings. I don't think they would learn anything about their program. They would get turned off by the discord within the board meeting and the way the board meetings are conducted. And New York was extremely bad, but most of them are not tolerable to begin with, and not much is accomplished. And there would be very little time for them to interact with the board. There would be very little time for them to discuss what their concerns are and to have people listen to them. And since the boards change every year, and since the affiliates remain more constant than the board members, I don't think that that's the place for this discussion to be held. So I would suggest that we look at and explore what other opportunities we can create for affiliates to communicate with Pacifica. And maybe if we can't do something in person, we could set up some kind of teleconference. There are high-tech ways to do that now. We could have, we could look for, I don't know. I would like to see this happen. I support the idea of it happening. I support the concept of greater communication between affiliates and Pacifica. But I do not support the Pacifica National Board meetings as the place for this to happen.
Excuse me, this is Vajra Kilgour. I'm sorry I came on late.
Hi, how are you?
I'm
Did you
good.
Want to be on the stack?
No, I just got home from work. I'll be listening.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
Dana?
I wanted to echo what both Dave and Chandra just said, which is I don't really believe that the board meeting is the appropriate place for affiliates. I can appreciate that we were given an hour. We've had an hour many other times over the years at PNB meetings, and Ursula has done an excellent job in showing videos from interviews with affiliates, in showing graphs of our growth over the years. There are many things that the affiliate reps can do to educate the board members, which is really what needs to happen at the board meetings. But for the affiliates to be present doesn't serve any useful function for them, for their radio station. And it, as I said earlier, and Chandra just brought it up again, but as I said earlier this evening, we can, in fact, be proactive by using something like Maestro and surveying affiliates with very specific questions that the affiliate task force puts together, and find out what the feelings of many affiliates are, and those are the findings that we can bring to the board members without the affiliates present. It would be a disaster if any affiliates were present at board meetings. I mean, certainly the New York board meeting is a prime example. We have a right for protest. There's a space for it. But the affiliates don't need to be put in the middle of that. They, whether we like to view them as our customers or not, they basically are radio stations that pay for service. And it's not a service going to a PNB meeting. That's not a service that we provide. It's really an internal function that you as representatives can educate the board members to, but that affiliates per se don't have to be a part of.